This is Jimmy and Angelo. Give us a call at 381-1313 or tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Yeah. Halloween. Taliban.
ESPN Sports Taliban. Radio 1300 and 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here with you like we are every Sunday, 9 to 11.
Except for next Sunday.
Right. Well, it's Thanksgiving weekend.
It is Thanksgiving weekend. So, where are you going?
I have to go to Nashville. I'm taking my engagement pictures. Hashtag soon-to-be-married life. Yeah.
That is so sweet. Hey, are you going to see, what's his name, Griffey? The guy that the California to Nashville in our ESPN
Fantasy
Football
That's
League?
That's my bro. My That's big bro.
Bro. Yeah. Okay, okay. I am going to have a little talk about our fantasy football league when we get to the fantasy
it's
segment.
It's been a nightmare.
Oh, your boy's doing pretty good. He's doing pretty good, Jimmy. I can't lie.
So what you're saying is you got some fire fantasy advice coming up at about probably 10:30 this afternoon?
Yes. Well, okay. I mean, yes to the time. You're correct about what time we're doing our fantasy segment. No, you probably shouldn't listen to me because that is the only league that I'm like even halfway decent in. And even though we have a bunch of sports media people, I'm not sure they know what they're doing either. Including I'm including myself. All right. And I'm including you. No offense.
Yeah. It's whatever. It is what it is. When you're in five leagues, you can't be dominant in all five.
Are you dominant in the other four, I'm guessing?
I'm undefeated in one and have only lost once in
Wow, undefeated in one.
Yeah. Which isn't, but I know that means nothing because as soon as you got a stud team, you get to weeks 14 and 15, a lot of those guys aren't playing.
See, that's always the issue. Like when people, I think the most underrated thing about fantasy football is sometimes when you're at the top of the draft,
yes.
I was like, man, I can pick Alvin Kamara, you know, number one, and he's going to be awesome, but the Saints might have the division wrapped up. They might have the number one seed wrapped up in week, 15, and then you're in the middle of your playoffs and you don't have more. You can pick Le'Veon Bell, and you know the Jets are, the Jets are...
They're not locking much of anything.
They're not winning the division, I can tell you that. But I buried the lead because I played Jumpman. So, see, this is where my mad production skills come in. I played Jumpman because
pretty sick.
Drake was the guy when everybody says, I rock Kentucky Blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a Drake song.
Yeah.
Which Drake song? I don't know. I'm not hip enough to know that. But
they're all the same.
But Kentucky basketball finally had a blowout, which we've been waiting for since the game that shall not be talked about. And
from a particular school.
No, we don't talk about him.
Yeah, okay.
We don't talk about him anymore, Jimmy. We've moved on.
Sure.
We've moved on to Lamar.
Sure.
All right. All right. But we're going to talk about Mount St. Mary's because 82-62 win on Friday. I was doing a high school football game that night. We were doing Simon Kitten at Tate's Creek. We'll talk about high school football here in a little bit. But the Kentucky game was going on. I got to watch some of it, but more than anything, I got to check out the stats and Jimmy, it looks like from the stat board that Kentucky dominated in every facet that we wanted them to dominate in.
Especially shooting from behind the arc 3-point, because against Utah Valley, I believe they were one for 12.
That's
I think
not
against
good.
Utah Valley, that's not great. So on Friday, they went up to 40%. I believe they hit 12 threes. It was six. Sorry.
But, so 6 for 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good memory.
So they improved that way, but there are still some things. And listening to Cal in post-game press conferences this time of year is my favorite, just because he is so brutally honest with what the guys need to do. And even after a 20-point win, if you listen to him, it does not seem like they won at all. But that's what you need, because the team is very far from being where they need to be.
I always hate it when he does that, though.
You don't like
it?
See,
no, I don't like it.
It reminds me of how my dad used to talk to me after I would go play a game.
Oh,
so
it's
it just
complex.
Reminds me. This just, and it just makes me laugh now, because back then I hated it. I'm like, but I did good, right? And he's like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. I know you did good. You're supposed to do good. But let's talk about what you didn't do good.
See, here's the reason why.
Which is how you would get better.
I totally get it. And I'm down with you on that facet. Is I, too, like, I like to hear that, hey, you did really well at this, but here's how you can get better type of thing. Like, I get that. But you just blew out Mount St. Mary's by 20. It's your first game, and you're just like, well, You know, we really, it was with 17 minutes left in the first half, there was a loose ball that we got, but I didn't like exactly how we jumped on it, and that's going to keep me awake tonight.
Right.
It's not. You're going to go home, and you're going to sleep an extra 2 hours, and you're going to forget this game happened in the name of the team. Yeah. All right, stop.
Yeah.
But, Kentucky shot 55% from the field, 40% from three, 89% from the line. We always talk about in the NBA, 50-40-90, like if you can shoot those splits.
Right.
So the shooting from the floor and the free throw line, 16 of 18 from the line, that's fantastic.
Especially considering how they were in the game that we will not speak of anymore. It was a terrible shooting night, which, I mean, when you lose, it's no matter how, but especially from the free throw line. That's where you need to be dominant if you want to be anything that's good in college basketball.
And really the thing that jumped out to me from the very beginning was just we finally got the ball moving.
Mm-hmm.
20 assists.
Yes.
To Mount St. Mary's 8 assists.
Mm-hmm.
So we more than doubled our opponent in assists. The ball was really moving around, led by Ashton Hagans. Tyrese Maxey was able to get his hands on the ball, passing around, and even Nate Sestina getting out there and dropping some dimes. I think that that is the key, because what that means is that you have multiple players that are able to get buckets for others. And it seems like the last couple games they've struggled, Kentucky struggled in general, from being able to score the ball. So when you're able, and I mean just individuals scoring the ball. So when your players are using themselves to have others score, that means everybody's getting a piece of that pie.
Right, because before that game, UK was last in the SEC in assists. And that's not good.
That's not good.
No. That goes similar with the free throw percentage.
Yeah.
Those are just things doesn't take a scientist to figure that out.
This might be the best free throw shooting team Cal's ever had. Because we've always had these huge big guys.
Yeah.
Jimmy, like before you got to Kentucky, every Cal team, I mean, our point guards were taller than some teams like Mount St. Mary's, like Lamar, taller than their team's power forwards.
Yeah.
Like, we were so big. And I think with that size, you get, you know, less free throw percentage, bigger hands.
Generally.
For those guys, and probably you don't, you know, they're just used to kind of dunking and then maybe the occasional foul,
yeah,
but it's not really like you have to make your living there.
Mm-hmm.
So the free throw percentage for Cal teams have roughly been in like the 60 to 70% range, but mostly in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
For this team to start the season with their free throw shooting, and I think it's just indicative of the lack of size that we have, that because you have a lot of Hagans, you have a lot of Maxey, and Hagans isn't perfect from the line, but you got a lot of Quickly, you got a lot of Maxey, you got a lot of Sestina.
Yeah.
Now a little bit of Juzang, but he didn't attempt any free throws. I don't know if he's attempted a free throw all year. I'd have to look that up. But just an example, we've got smaller players. We've got a lot of guards. Free throw shooting has been the best it's ever been.
Absolutely. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. 381-1313 is a number. We're talking Cats basketball. We did get EJ Montgomery back, and he played 15 minutes, had 7.6 rebounds, so it's good to get him back on the floor. So you could definitely tell a difference having EJ Montgomery and Quickly back. Team looked different.
It did. That looks different to me. I don't want to see an EJ Montgomery there. That was news to me. I'm glad that EJ's back.
Yeah.
But
he only played 15 minutes, so it's not like he had a big role, but they got him back. And to be, you know, play 15 minutes, have 7 and 6, just to have that presence out there and give Nick Richards some time.
Okay, so I was just mentioning this to you, Jimmy, and look, I'm ashamed to admit it, all right? But, you know, I'm a grown man.
You're a grown man.
No, that I make mistakes. Yeah, yes, thanks. Thanks so much, Jimmy. EJ Montgomery, I haven't heard a whisper about him being back. And again, I was at the game. Doing this research, I mostly broke down team stats. And that is just indicative to me, and especially because you went straight from high school football that night along with Kentucky basketball into the college football game day, you kind of get this lost in the shuffle because there's another basketball game coming up so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really see anything online. There's no movement. There is no one really talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to you before the show. There's something weirdly different about this UK season than the last 2 years that I've worked here. This is the third season I've worked here during UK basketball. Excuse me. I think it might be the, let's see, I'm trying to, I'll remember the exact
one,
year.
One, two, three,
K, yeah, no, yeah, six, I'm trying to count on, I think it's three. Let's just go with, this is the third season. Every year, even last year, when Kentucky football was as good as it.
Rolling.
I mean, when it was rolling, 10-3.
Yeah.
Once Kentucky lost to Georgia, the football season was over until the Louisville game where we blew out Louisville. And that was a night game at Louisville. And I think it got everybody kind of re-pumped back up about football, because once the Georgia game was over, everybody moved on to Kentucky basketball.
Right.
I don't feel like anybody's even started on Kentucky basketball this year. And it's very strange to me, because Kentucky starts out, you beat Michigan State, you're the number one team
in Madison Square Garden. You make up for the Duke loss last year.
No, that'll never happen.
Well, recency buys. You make people forget about it a little bit easier.
If we blow Duke out by 40 points in a national championship game, we will have paid them back.
Okay.
Like it still hurts.
Yeah, well, it does too, but just trying to get to your point, to where it's like, you know, there is momentum in a way with Kentucky basketball, or there was.
Well, I was just going to say that I remember when the team that shall not be named, where we lost to, I'm just going to say, I can't keep that up all show. When we lost to Evansville, everybody was like, is this the most shocking loss? Is this the most upsetting loss? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, the Duke loss was much worse than the Evansville loss. Evansville, okay, you weren't prepared for a smaller opponent. You know, EJ was hurt. You're just kind of, you know, you didn't have as many scholarship play. Like, okay. Like, I get not being prepared.
Because it seemed like more of a fluke than anything.
It's, well, I would say in circumstance it was a fluke. Now, the game, Evansville was better. Like, the entire game. But I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like, that doesn't really happen. I can take a loss like that because, okay, that team was better tonight. To have the start of your season in a team that I think everybody was like, you know what, these Cats are maybe the number two team in the nation. Duke came in and ran Kentucky out the floor for 40 straight minutes.
It was bad.
It was embarrassing. Yeah. That was the most.
And especially because it was the intro to the Zion Williamson show. So everyone had their eyes on the game. And it was just like, couldn't have been worse.
It was awful.
But anyways, that's last year's.
And then that's the second worst Duke moment, in the sense of Kentucky went 38-1, and they're supposed to win the national championship, go 40-0. Guess who won the championship the year that Kentucky went 38-1?
Oh, who's that?
That was Duke.
Mm.
It still gets at me. It still gets.
I can't tell. You're hiding it really
anyways,
well.
Anyways, it's a situation in where I don't feel like anybody cares about Kentucky basketball right now. And that is something very, very strange to me, because every year, as soon as Kentucky basketball tips off, that is all anybody wants to talk about, 381-1313. It's all anybody cares about, but not this year. And honestly, if you have Twitter and you've been looking online, nobody's there.
Yeah. Do you think it has anything to do with the lack of decent games on the schedule? You think that's anything to do with it?
I think absolutely. I don't think fans really pop up until a conference play.
Right.
But one, that used to not be a thing. Two, it's not that cold and it's not that wet. Like, it's not icy and sleet. It's not dangerous to drive downtown to a game. Parking's too expensive, but you can find free parking close to, if you're willing to walk
a game you want to go to, if Louisville's coming to town, you're going.
Everybody's going to go to that.
So that's not really an excuse to use, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just this game. And, like, tickets can't be that expensive to where, because it's up in the upper deck where, I mean, if you go to the end zones where they still have the bleacher seats and not the chair backs, it's a ghost town.
Yeah.
And people complain about the student section and stuff. Well, they should get in free anyways. And if not, I mean, it's on the students to help create that environment.
Absolutely.
It is on the university to set up an environment in which students can be engaged. That is not their job. Like, people talk about, like, it's the students' job to come up there and support the team. No. It is your job to help get the students there, a.k.a. free tickets, a.k.a. seats where they are prominently involved. That's the thing. You look at Duke, and you look at their student section is behind the center court camera angle where you can reach out and touch players, and the broadcasting partners of nationally televised games are right there. Do you know how much fun that must be
it
as a student?
It makes them feel like they
are
the focal point.
The game.
Yes,
you are the focal point.
Yes.
So to me, when people complain about the students, it's like, you know what? I probably wouldn't be that hyped up either if I was in, you know, if I was shoved behind the basket away from the core, away from the sides, away from the action. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm here for, you know, Mount St. Mary's or Utah Valley State, South Central East LA. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't blame them.
Which could be, you know, it was a Friday game. Just for that game, it's Friday night. It's the week before Thanksgiving break. So maybe kids are just like, I got other stuff I want to do. It's my last weekend here for 2 weeks. I'm going to go out.
And that's not even the one I'm talking about because I wasn't there. I'm talking about the ones I was there. And I was looking over. I was like, huh, it's not as full. I mean, still for a, I mean, there's still, you know, more than 10,000 people there, which is a lot. You know, that's still a lot in the grand scheme of things. But you just cut down seating by 2,000 with the bleacher seats, or by turning those into chairbacks, and you're still, like, I mean, you're multiple thousand short of capacity.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just indicative of what I already said about there's a weird kind of feeling in the air that,
or lack of.
Yeah, it's the lack of excitement. Mm-hmm. There's
the lack
an absence,
of a feeling.
It's absence of presence is what it is. That is kind of alarming a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we can get into that more if that continues. That's just something I've noticed as we prepare. But predictions for Lamar tonight. I don't know anything about them, but I'm going to say Kentucky's going to beat them by double digits.
So I'll say they've got one player that is 6'8 or taller. All this is off of memory. I didn't do any research before this. I just real
you're
big Lamar
really
fan.
Really like college basketball.
Exactly. So TJ Atwood's their big score. He's averaging 18 points a game. He's only 4 for 11 from three, so he likes to penetrate and drive the ball. And then they've got Davion Buster, who's their three-point guy. He's attempted 46 three-point shots this year. That's a lot.
It's amazing you're doing all this with your eyes closed.
I know. It's crazy, right?
It's incredible. Well, like, these are kind of the teams that end up biting Kentucky, though.
Yes, they are.
It's the spread it out three teams, and in past, what Kentucky's done the best is get the ball inside for easy buckets and get the other team in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. Because when you have these big guards driving the lane and you have these big men they can't stop, usually their team gets in foul trouble. We slow down the pace because we're shooting a lot of free throws because you're in the bonus after a while. And that kind of hinders the other team's ability. But you see Evansville and their ability to shoot from behind the line was a big reason on why they won. So, yeah, this is it's going to be interesting. This game against Mount St. Mary's should spark them. But again, Mount St. Mary's wasn't good behind the line. They were only 5 of 24 from 3.
Yeah.
So if we have a team like Lamar that can shoot threes, we might be in another sticky situation.
Yeah. Kentucky's favored by 24, so the question is, would they cover?
That's a double-digit win, so I mean, will they cover the spread?
That's tough. Whenever it spreads that high?
No.
I would always go with no.
No, I mean, like, when it spreads that high, I mean, this is the first 20-point win Kentucky's had. Now, if it was say January of last year, like a year ago with that team and the way they're playing defense, I would say definitely could cover a 20-point spread, not this one.
Mm.
But by the way, Trey's in the studio today.
Hey!
What's going on, Trey Carney? He does not have a microphone.
No,
saying
nor
hi
a voice.
Over the air. You a shout-out. We'll have Trey come on. He's got a little bit of a... he's got an entrant into our Kentucky Proud segment, and then he's got a little bit of something to say about tonight's big event. No, not the Kentucky basketball game.
Oh, there's another event.
No, not our Packers 49ers game.
So much happening.
Which we were supposed to watch, but...
If it wasn't a night game, Daddy has to go to sleep early.
Yeah, yeah. Is that what we're calling ourselves these days, bud?
That's what I call myself, yeah.
You don't have a kid, so tone it back a second.
All right.
But it's because that WWE Survivor Series is tonight, and I watched NXT TakeOver last night, which I thought was a good, not great show, but like really, really good. Like the floor is like a 7.5 out of 10. So, I mean, that's you can't It's hard to beat that. And but Survivor Series tonight is about to be very, very interesting, very lit.
Speaking of interesting and lit, how about Kentucky football yesterday, huh? Transitions. Boo-boo!
Just go to break.
So the Cats are going bowling, and we're going to get into that next. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1300, 92.5. Jimmy and Angelo here with you. Like we are every Sunday from 9 to 11 and 10 o'clock starts the NFL Power Hour, where we give you everything you need to know about NFL. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. 381-1313 is our number. So let's transition from Kentucky basketball to Kentucky football as the season winds down.
381-1313 if you want to talk about the game, because Jimmy...
Hello.
What's there to talk about?
Well, Kentucky won 50-7 in a very... It was a gross game yesterday, weather-wise, I just mean.
Like, I was going to say, I liked winning by a lot. That feels windy good sometimes.
It had to have just been miserable out there. Watching the broadcast, the guys in the booth were just... They kept bringing it up to the sideline reporter, and they just kept rubbing it in that she was down there on the field.
I do remember that.
Yeah. I was like, damn, geez, why don't you let her come up? It's 50-7. Did she not come in the booth?
Let me get this out of the way.
Okay.
Everybody wanted Lynn Bowden to be pulled earlier than he was, so he's healthy for the Louisville game and the bowl game. I agree for the most extent. He's got some football players.
Yeah.
And they want to play. Lynn didn't get hurt. He played. And second half, made the switch. You didn't want a Tua situation.
Yeah, but that you can't. Do that. I mean, you don't know when a guy's going to get hurt. A guy could get hurt the second snap of the game.
I'm with you. You know, at the same time, I understand why people were upset and they wanted him there. Or that he wanted him out of there. But because I think they were just the goal was to get him over 100 yards rushing or something like that. That was like spit around. But whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? Whatever. But the highlights of the game itself. Kentucky set a program record for rushing yards yesterday. That record is 462 rushes on 45 attempts, averaging obviously over 10 yards a carry. This is, if any team was going to break that record in Kentucky history, it would be this one. And I got to say, which is just surprising because Benny Snell goes and then we set the record. I've got to say, I can't hold it back anymore.
You shouldn't.
Eddie Grant's fantastic.
That is a big step for you.
You did not expect that. Your jaw dropped.
It kind of took me a second. I was like, did he just say process what?
I don't.
Because you have been very critical.
Oh, of course. Of him. Yeah. I mean, like, honestly.
And so have a lot of people.
Even if he was gone after this year, I'd be like, well, you know, maybe our ceiling rises. Again, he's a chef. You can go to Walmart and get him the off brand.
Great value, shout out.
Yeah, we give him the off brand stuff, and he'll make the same meals if you went to the whole market food place.
Five
and
star.
Bought him $100. Great. You can buy him $10 worth of ingredients, $100 worth of ingredients. And he's gonna cook the same meal. Mm-hmm. All right, that's all I'm saying. But man, how many other teams are capable of doing what Grant has done? Because it's to the point where our record, let's see, I think Kentucky has gone 4-2 since Lynn's taken over at quarterback.
Yeah.
Because that would be Arkansas, that would be Missouri, that would be Tennessee Martin, lost to Georgia, lost to Tennessee.
Yes.
Okay, so 3-2. Is there a game I've forgotten in between then, looking at the schedule?
Did you say Mississippi State?
No, Mississippi State was before Lynn took over.
That's right. Okay.
Because Sawyer, and then the bye week.
Okay.
I think you got them. So okay, so only five games. Mm-hmm. Kentucky is 3-2, but I felt like we had a whole extra win in there. Kentucky's played so well with that. Let's see, Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee, Martin. Okay, I'm just making sure there's not another game because Vanderbilt.
That's right. Yeah.
So it is 4-2. Yeah. Yeah, so Kentucky's 4-2 with a wide receiver at quarterback.
That's crazy. Their third guy you've been on this year.
And there's people that can sometimes talk about some of the hitches in the first quarter. Lynn can't throw.
Right. Well, he's a receiver.
Surprise, surprise. That's what makes this so impressive. It made me think last night to myself, and this is why I'm complimenting Eddie. Because I asked myself, why don't major programs do this? Because Lynn is incredible. Okay, Lynn is incredible. But he was a top 150 player coming out of high school, mm-hmm. One of the best all-purpose players. So I'm not sure if there are that many teams that can get another Lynn Bowden.
Yeah.
Like, I think this kid's just truly special. But come on, like, if you're Alabama and those wide receivers that they have that we've seen put mm-hmm. on display, if you're Clemson and you didn't have Trevor Lawrence, or if you didn't have Tua or whatever, and let's say you're a USC and you have a guy like T. Higgins,
yeah,
why not just put him at quarterback and do what Kentucky's doing?
And run for 462 yards?
I'm asking. Yeah. I'm seriously asking, because Eddie Grant took Lynn Bowden and was like, I'm going to create the best rushing offense in the history of this school, statistically.
Yeah.
I mean, from what he's done, the best rushing quarterback in the country by far. I mean,
you've got a four-headed monster at running back. I mean, with Kavassier, Smoke, Rodriguez, AJ Rose, and then Lynn.
Yeah. It's so that's what I'm saying, is that he's done so well with Lynn at quarterback now. I just feel like he just deserves credit for making this work.
Mm-hmm.
And this was after I said, why not give Walker a chance? Why aren't you giving Walker a chance? And Walker, to my defense, you know, Walker played like the whole fourth quarter. I thought he looked good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he looks good. I mean, I don't think I'm not sitting here saying he's an SEC caliber quarterback, but I'm saying if we had to throw him in for a pinch mm-hmm. five games ago, I was like, you know, I think that he could have survived. But now, I mean, we see why Lynn was the pick, is because, yes. And honestly, I don't think that he would have been remembered or has had good of a season if he didn't have the ball in his hands every snap.
Oh, if he had stayed at receiver mm-hmm. and say Sawyer mm-hmm. Smith was still back
yep.
there? Yeah, he
yep.
probably would have just got lost in the sauce, and he still would have been a good player.
Like last year. Yeah, like last year, a good player.
Ended up yeah. with probably 45 catches. Maybe
somewhere around there.
Maybe, you know, 600-700 yards, couple touchdowns, couple big plays.
Yeah.
But nothing crazy. And who would have thought that him going to quarterback would boost him up the way it has?
Yeah, it's definitely exactly what, because I remember in the media day in the preseason talking about the offense, the coaches didn't say it exactly, of course, but pretty much that it's Lynn Bowden. Like, when talking about the offense, they're like, man, Lynn,
yeah.
you know, like, that's that guy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And now we can see why that is. And I think that they just finally made the point of, you have your best player on the team at the most important position, and he found a way to make it work. So congratulations to Eddie Grant for making this work.
Yeah, just somehow figuring out a way.
I'm
going to
go brush my teeth. I'll be back.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 925. 381-1313 is our number.
There was a couple other things that came out over the weekend involving Cash Daniel and his situation, where he kind of gave some quotes that, you know, and I don't know, I don't have the quotes verbatim, but a lot of people on Twitter were kind of asking, hey, is Cash okay? Is he all right? What's mm-hmm. going on with Cash? So I'm not sure if Cash is at a good headspace right now in this interview. I think it was just one of the situations he talked about was he didn't want to make where he came from look bad in any mm-hmm. way. Sorry for any negative attention he brought there. And this is a kid that's repped Eastern Kentucky better than any player. And Trey might know someone close enough, but like, to me, an Eastern Kentucky, University of Kentucky football player,
yeah.
is Cash Daniel. I can't think of another guy that kind of synonymous mm-hmm. with the university's football program and that region of the state. But obviously, I think he's had two concussions in 3 weeks. He had four tackles yesterday, so he did see the field. But it's definitely sad to see that kind of end for a guy's career where in the offseason, I mean, he was so ready.
Oh, yeah, last year he had a fantastic, a lot of hype for him coming in.
He had
this
a really
season.
Good first couple games of the year, too. And then apparently through various reports that Coach Stoops had visited with Florida State officials.
Really?
It was.
I had not heard this.
It was Sunday. There was a time, I want to say it might have been Friday. It's something that they flew into Cincinnati, met with Stoops, and they left the meeting without a contract signed or a job offered.
Right.
Okay, and then there was confliction on whether that meant he pulled himself from the job or Florida State just hasn't offered him the job yet. What that situation is, but reports are saying that Coach Stoops had met with Florida State officials.
Interesting.
Yep, so we'll see where that saga goes.
Right, because it's getting to that time where this is where you start to see rumors and coaches making that decision right before either the last week or their bowl game.
Right, it's usually after the last game of the season, and then there that month
that
of bowl
couple,
game.
That that's couple when the, week between where it's kind of a lull.
Because you have that early signing period now, and you've got, like, after your last game and you make that commitment to your team, you jump, you go finish the recruiting for your new school, the new coach, interim coach takes over, tries to keep the recruiting class together, coaches the bowl game, and then that school hires the new coach. Mm-hmm. So if Coach Stoops was to leave, that's the scenario you're looking at, would that he would leave after the Louisville game. You have Morrow and the staff. It just depends how much of the staff he's allowed or would take with him. To Florida State, if that were to happen, like this is what would happen. It'd be after the bowl game because they have to get that recruiting period. Now, there's still the February recruiting period. Mm-hmm. So if Florida State wanted him that bad, he could realistically stay and coach the bowl game and then leave because they do have that second signing period. But the first signing period is becoming just as important, if not more important, to lock these guys down. So after the Louisville game, you'd leave. The staff would try to keep this recruiting class together. An interim coach would coach the bowl game, and then from there.
It's going to be an interesting next month or so. So with this decision with Stoops going, because I had heard, I don't know how real it is, but I had heard that Deion Sanders even had rumors to go be the head coach of Florida State. But with this, you know, with Florida State flying in to Cincinnati and coming here to visit with Coach Stoops, and you wonder, does this affect the team at all with the players? Does this affect how they play against Louisville? Does this affect the trust that they have with Coach Stoops and the coaching staff? So it's just interesting to see if that's going to have any impact at all.
Yeah, apparently in the post-game presser, Coach Stoops said he was going to stay.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
In that scenario. That's
what you know, Nick Saban also said that too.
Yeah.
I'm not going. Of course, they're always going to, not saying he's going to leave, but you're always going to say the right thing. And Coach Stoops, he's a professional. He's great at that.
Yeah. I'm not calling him a liar or anything. It's just that, you know, things change.
Mm-hmm.
Things change. And if Florida State was like, hey, no, we are going to give you the job. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, because the report said that the job wasn't offered, they were like, hey, you know, Mark, you're the head coach of Florida State. Then I would be like,
You know,
they didn't offer me the job, and I was going to stay, and now they offered me the job, and this is Florida State, so, I mean, but yeah, like he said, it's better that our coach is being, you know, talked about in that position than not.
Absolutely. So, coming up on Jimmy and Angelo, there is a quarterback this year in college football who is having one of the greatest seasons of all time, and he may not even win the Heisman Trophy. We'll get into that. It's Jimmy and Angelo, ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
All right, I'm going to keep this quick because blazing fast is what Blaze Pizza is all about. I've been there. It is fantastic. Fresh, made from scratch dough every day. Healthful ingredients on the assembly line. You can make classic pizza. You can invent your own pizza. You decide. 180 seconds, fast fired, perfect. Blaze Pizza, the summit or hamburg. Open every day, 11 to 10. BlazePizza.com.
Okay, folks, let's talk dirty. Laundry. It's something we all have to do, like it or not. Some of us live in older homes with old plumbing, some don't have a washer and dryer at all, and some just don't have the time. Either way, remember three words: Chevy Chase Laundry. You can wash and dry everything from horse blankets to comforters to dog beds in a clean environment with no waiting. They have large 40-pound capacity washers and new hot dryers. Or you can drop off your laundry and they'll do it for you. Trust your clothes like so many others to Chevy Chase Laundry, 315 South Ashland, across from Starbucks.
The fighting spirit of the Marine Corps is born of battles won. Battles won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's a promise made to you for more than two centuries. A promise of the Marines.
Let me tell you.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. 381-1313 is our number.
Lexington's lucky I couldn't get my hands on that Paul Wall that I was looking for 2 seconds before we went back on air. But here's the thing. I got a call. Shout out to my sister Abby. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Abby.
And they were trying to tell me about, like, at the post game that Coach Stoops said that he was going to stay at Kentucky. Kinda.
In a way.
Kinda.
He didn't not say it.
Let's say this.
So we're gonna break it down.
If the door is closed, there's a stoop size window that's open. Because he said, this is the quote. Someone asked him about the 24/7 sports report that you met with Florida State. Okay. This is Coach Stoops' quote. Mm-hmm. I'm not going into specifics, but Florida State, I had a great experience there. It afforded me the opportunity to be here. And I love it here. I've been very fortunate. I have great administration. Dr. Cupluto, mm-hmm. Mitch Barnhart, they've been so good to me. The fans, our players, the recruits, and this is where my heart is. This is where I want to be. So I'm going to be at Kentucky. I felt like I was answering too many questions to recruits. I think it was time to answer those questions honestly and directly. And this is where I want to be, so this is what I want to do. Not once did he say, I am not going to Florida State.
Right.
And not once in there, it said, I am. And here's the interesting part. Now that I read over those again, he doesn't say, I am going to stay at Kentucky. It said, this is where I am. This is where he did say, I'm going to be at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, this is where I want to be.
There was
this is what I want to do. But you know what? I want to have $100,000.
Of course.
But I want more to have $1 million, you know? So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's your situation is great until a greater one arises. There
sure.
was never once he said, I'm not going to Florida State. I'm staying at Kentucky. Those words, I appreciate them. Like, as Big Blue Nation and to recruits, that can seem that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you put on your reading glasses and you wipe them off a little bit and you start looking deeper into the quotes, I see a lot of my heart is, I want to, the I'm going to be is the strongest one. I'm going to be at Kentucky, but he can be at Kentucky for another week and then bounce out. Not once they say I'm not going to be at Florida State.
A lot
to me,
of fluff.
That's when you're serious. When you say that I'm not going there, because mm-hmm. I think with Coach Stoops, never say never.
Mm-hmm. And even if he does go, you couldn't blame him.
Oh, I never blame him.
You can.
Florida State's awesome.
Exactly.
It's an awesome job to have.
Especially for a guy like him who's been there before. So.
Oh, and had success there before, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, it's Jimmy and Angelo, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. The rest of college football, more particularly the Heisman, is what we could talk about today. I love talking about it. I think Angelo secretly hates it.
Jimmy Radio's Heisman Trophy update. No, it's not that I hate it.
Uh-huh.
It's just from your perspective, being from the Deep South, like you grew up like in your formative years,
yeah.
how big the Heisman is there
yeah.
and how serious they take the Heisman Trophy race.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't here.
That's,
like, it
yeah.
just wasn't, like, it's fun. Like, me and my friends, when we were younger, like around week 6 or 7, we'd be like, oh, who's the Heisman mm-hmm. leader? Like, who's the, you know, like,
last year when
fun.
Benny Snell had his little run.
Really? Yes. Oh, don't be insulting. I was really hoping that little run would turn into a Heisman Trophy.
Well, of course you were hoping.
But, I mean, went 10-3. He should have been the discussion. All right. But no, you just came in here just week 2. You were like, Heisman Trophy. And I was just like, we haven't even started. It's kind of like ranking teams before you even see them. You were like, all right, Angelo, give me your top 15 Heisman Trophy winners.
We need top 15. top 20 Heisman candidates.
That's what you, that's what you got me, and I was so taken aback. Well, yeah, and every week you've been like, okay, so Heisman, and it was just so funny. Especially, it's just even funnier this year because one, no offense, you were wrong off the bat. And yeah. Number two,
thanks, Trevor Lawrence.
It was just a runaway this year. I mean, I haven't seen a runaway like this since I would have to say.
We talked about it last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
I remember us talking about it. I would say that for sure Cam Newton.
Yeah, that's what we had said.
And then maybe Lamar Jackson the year he won because it was pretty solidified. Lamar was winning that one. But
yeah
but go ahead. So Jimmy Radio's Heisman Trophy update.
So I'll just say right now, it's looking like Joe Burrow is going to run away.
Really?
And that's who you have been talking. They won 56-20 yesterday against Arkansas. But the second guy that I think still has a chance is Jalen Hurts. Now, I'm going to give you some numbers.
Oh, you do?
I said, well,
you think Jalen Hurts has a chance?
Since I've been off of Trevor Lawrence, I've hopped on Jalen Hurts bandwagon.
Tell the stats. Go ahead.
You're the leader of the Jalen Hurts bandwagon. I'm not doubting that. So this is Tim Tebow's stats from his 2007 Heisman Trophy winning season. He threw for almost 3,300 yards, 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He ran for almost 900 yards and 23 touchdowns.
That's the crazy part.
People have said that that's one of the just all around, not throwing the ball only, but running and throwing quarterback, one of the greatest seasons that college football's seen.
It was the greatest dual rushing and throwing season until, I guess it wasn't 1 year later, but 2 years later when Cam Newton came.
Exactly.
But
so here's Jalen Hurts, and he still has a couple more games. He's thrown for 3,100 yards, 30 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's ran for 1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns.
Sounds really similar to Tim Tebow's, and his season's not finished.
Exactly. Mm. And it's going to be better than Tim Tebow's. But I don't know if he's got a chance to beat out Burrow. It's going to take just an absolute game from Joe Burrow.
I think you're right. I think it's going to have to either be a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
But I don't see them losing to Georgia.
Who does LSU play in their rivalry week?
So next week?
Next week. Who does LSU play? Because I'm trying to think of the
Texas
game.
A&M.
Texas A&M. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Texas A&M, and then they'll play more than likely Georgia for the SEC.
If they lose to Texas A&M and they lose in the SEC championship game and Hurts wins it. I mean, this is the stretch as you're going
happen,
to.
It could happen, though.
I mean, did you see what happened to Oregon yesterday? We could throw Justin Herbert out of the finalist category. Yeah. So for those who don't know, Oregon played Arizona State, and a freshman I liked a couple weeks ago when I saw him, but Jaden Daniels of Arizona State, their quarterback, Herm Edwards gets his first, Herm Edwards,
he gets the troops going.
Speaking of troops, you know who's on that coaching staff?
Nope.
Marvin Lewis.
No way.
Yes.
How about that?
I think he's the defensive coordinator.
Wow.
Of Arizona State with his old buddy Herm Edwards.
Those kids are learning from some of the best.
They are, and Arizona State was up 10-7, blah, blah, blah. They get on to down to the wire, and I turn it on because I'm like, oh, this is a close game. Let's check it out. Arizona State's taking a kneel down. I believe they won 31-28.
Yep.
And that dashed Oregon because I truly thought that Oregon, out of all of – now, Utah fans are going to get really mad at me for saying that.
Cool.
I thought
Good for
Oregon
them.
Was like the Pac-12 contender for the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Utah goes – if they win out – and they beat Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game.
They play Colorado next week. So,
who, Utah?
Yes. So Utah will probably win out and then play.
But then the Oregon win doesn't feel as big. So then Utah, I still think, is on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any recognizable players. They don't have like some super stacked resume or anything. Mm-mm. So, I think Herbert took himself out of the Heisman race.
Yeah.
I think Oregon's out of the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I think
two
we can
losses,
agree to that.
Yeah.
Two losses, one to Auburn, one to Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
Quality opponents. They're going to have a great bowl game, but they're not college football playoff.
Yeah.
So there was that game. I watched the LSU Arkansas. I watched that until the blowout got just – it's not fun. to watch it, and I'm going to be honest here, you will not hear a bigger backer of me when it comes to SEC. SEC's not good this year.
It's
top heavy.
Okay.
It's top heavy. Arkansas,
yeah.
Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Missouri, Tennessee. Like the part of the conference that's supposed to be like top 25 in any other conference just hasn't been there. And that's what I want to get to earlier. Kentucky's a good football team, I think. I think Kentucky is actually a
solid.
Good football team. Solid is a great, solid and good.
Same, not great, but they're not bad.
No,
they're,
and I mean, but think about the adversity this team had to overcome to be legitimately good. Jimmy, years after that last year, Kentucky didn't have good football teams. We scraped the barrel for what was left, and then we go into rebuilding again.
Mm-hmm.
This is more than fine, what we're seeing this year out of Kentucky football.
They're going to their fourth straight bowl game.
Going bowling, baby.
Hey.
That's what I forgot to lead off with, too, earlier, is that the, bowl game for Kentucky.
Well, the Stoops quote, I mean,
I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I just, and here's the college football playoff up on ESPN right now. Yeah. It's LSU, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, and Oregon. But, Oregon's going to get knocked out. I just feel like with the SEC just been down this year. That's all I kind of wanted to say about that. But the top of the SEC is great.
I just want to mention the running back for LSU, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, had 6 carries for 188 yards. For 190 yards. That's a lot. I don't know what that is averaging.
I think that averages out to over 30 yards a carry.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
Speaking of the Heisman Trophy update, I gave Jimmy my list last night. Burrow 1.
Mm-hmm.
Hurts 2,
yeah.
Jonathan Taylor 3, Chase Young 4, Trevor Lawrence, Jimmy's guy 5, 13 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, undefeated Clemson.
He could squeak his way back in.
But for my question for you is, did you look up the Oklahoma State running back?
I did.
Why? I thought you would be like blown away, like, and you didn't even say anything.
Well, to be honest, not that anyone cares, but as soon as you said, like right after you said that, I fell asleep. So that's the only reason why I didn't respond. I looked him up, and then I like rolled over, and then, so.
Oh, okay. 1,700 yards, 20 touchdowns in 10 games. So he's averaging walking onto a football field this year. You are guaranteed 170 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I just don't see 2 running backs making it to the final.
Oh, no. You asked me for a dark horse, and I gave you one.
Yeah, he's definitely right up there. So we'll see.
That's all. I think we should just get into Kentucky Proud.
Let's do it. Kentucky Proud. And our very own Trey Carney is back visiting. Trey, welcome.
Hello, guys.
How's it going?
Oh, just living life.
Living life on the edge.
That's great. That's great, Trey. Thanks so much. All right, we ready?
Yeah.
It's riveting.
All right, so Kentucky Proud. This week we are going to highlight a couple of different areas around the state. First one I want to talk about was Frederick Douglass and Tate's Creek. Both advanced to the semis, which is the first time that Frederick Douglass has ever made the semis, their first regional championship. This is the first time Tate's Creek's made it, I think since 97-98. I'd have to fact check that, but it has been a while. Congratulations to Tate's Creek. We did the Simon Kenton Tate's Creek game, and they ran away with it. The Commodores just blew out
studs
the Pioneers. Here are the teams that have made the semifinals across the state. So next Friday, this coming Friday, I guess, is going to be the last stop before Kroger Field in the state championships, which will also be the last football broadcast of varsity game night. It's Paintsville, Kentucky Country Day, Holy Cross Louisville, Pikeville, Beechwood, Mayfield, Breathitt County, Somerset, Taylor County, Bell County, Belfry, DeSales, Central, I guess that's Louisville Central, I would say. It's not Madison Central, it's Louisville Central, Boyle County, Madisonville, North Hopkins, Johnson Central, Bowling Green, Covington Catholic, Owensboro, Frederick Douglass, Tate's Creek, Mayall, Trinity, North Hardin.
And this all starts Friday?
And this starts Friday, semifinals. So for all of you out there that are fans of your high school team or high school football across the Bluegrass, those teams have made the semifinals in the Kentucky State football playoffs.
Love it.
Last night, during the UK UT Martin game for the coin flip, offensive lineman Chris Jackson for UT Martin is a former native of Lexington.
He is a native of Lexington. Where did he play football at?
Lexington Catholic. I actually was a teammate of mine.
A teammate of yours? Okay. So we had a second returning star to the football field yesterday because you were on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
For UT Martin. Also coming out of basketball, and weirdly a fixation on Louisville basketball here, David Johnson, the MVP of the Sweet 16 last year and state champion for Trinity made his debut for Louisville because he was out with an injury. He had two dunks in Louisville's win a couple of nights ago. So David Johnson, in contention for Mr. Basketball last year, one of the top players in the last couple of years in the state, made his debut for Louisville. So we're glad that he's healthy and back. And then Keelan Martin, who was the second player, it was him and Quinn Snyder that were the runner-ups in the 2013 tournament, not only lost to my alma mater, Madison Central, and former Wildcat Dominique Hawkins, Keelan Martin scored 14 points and grabbed 6 rebounds in a win against the Jazz.
Nice.
So, nice. Did you have anything for Kentucky Proud?
No, I just wanted to say, if you listening have any type of story for Kentucky Proud, or you find one, you see one, tweet at us, at Jimmy and Angelo, and just use the hashtag Kentucky Proud, KY Proud, and so we can keep this thing rolling. So we try to be out there on the streets. We try to keep our ears glued to the streets so we can bring you the Kentucky Proud. But if you out there, you know, we need our soldiers out there helping us finding Kentucky Proud. So tweet at us, at Jimmy and Angelo, using the hashtag KY Proud.
Jimmy, NFL and WWE Survivor Series. You couldn't ask for a more exciting time.
This 10 o'clock hour.
The first hour.
This 10 o'clock hour is going to be action-packed. Full of the NFL Power Hour and then WWE. Are you ready?
I'm up until Yaction.
Yaction? It's a new thing. I'm starting.
Thank you.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
The action.
The tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Yeah.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out.
Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. Twitter and Facebook. Follow us at Jimmy and Angelo. It's 10 o'clock, so you know what that means. It's the NFL Power Hour.
I should have never logged on to NFL.com.
What is happening?
I'm just reading these things, and it angered me because I remembered the NFL's top 12 all-time running back list. And then,
you know, they do those things to get clicks, and they put people on there who don't deserve to be on there. They did that with the forget what it was. It was top 10 something, or top 10 defensive backs of all time. And it was some guy from the 30s that got the number one safety of
Are
all time.
Are you talking about Dick Nitrain Lane?
No, it was a different guy.
Oh,
forget,
okay.
Not Dick Nitrain Lane, but I'm like,
I was
going to
say, that guy could intercept the ball.
Yeah, but also back then.
Wait, when did this list come out? Was it a part of the NFL Top 100 series?
No, this was last year. Ed Reed, I think, was number 5.
So
that's when it lost me.
Well, that's okay. Well, considering what I'm about to tell you, that's fine. By the way, the other thing I saw on here when I get to the NFL running back list, it says quarterback rankings. Murray passes Brady. I'm just like,
again, for clicks.
Look, I love Kyler Murray. I think he's going to be really good.
The integrity of it is gone.
I'm done with it. I'm just a little done with that. And I'm not even the biggest Brady guy. So here's Jimmy.
Kay.
You have not seen the list yet.
No.
I'm going to give you this list, and I want you to tell me what's wrong with it other than everything. Okay. I'm going to give you 8 running backs, which I think totally belonged on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 7, and then one's kind of Jim Brown.
Okay.
You think he belongs?
He's okay. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Walter Payton.
Yes.
Okay. Barry Sanders. Now I'm reading. It says Brown was one of 12 running backs. Only one of 2 unanimous picks. Walter Payton and Jim Brown were the only unanimous picks.
Wow.
Which is
okay.
Interesting. So Barry Sanders, that's 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. 4. Emmitt Smith.
Okay.
5. This is not in order. I'm just giving.
Okay.
I'm just saying to you. So this isn't in order. This is just they did the general 12. O.J. Simpson, which I think.
Hello, Twitter world.
He is obviously controversial, and nobody's a big O.J. Simpson fan.
Some would say.
I would say, but totally deserves to be on the list in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think he was a great running back. First 2,000 yard season ever.
Mm-hmm.
So there was also Gale Sayers. How many is that so far, Jim?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Eric Dickerson.
Okay.
And Earl Campbell. Those eight. I love Earl Campbell. Now, Earl Campbell, I think you could argue whether he should be on there or not, not because of his greatness, but because of like the length of his career.
Yeah.
But he was really dominant out the gate. These are the next four running backs.
Okay.
Dutch Clark.
All right.
Marion Motley.
Played for the Colts, I think.
Did you make that up?
Or no,
you
guys... I really do for some reason that... All right.
Lenny Moore.
Okay.
And Steve Van Buren.
This is the all-time 12 greatest running
backs?
Yes. Well, there's really nothing to comment on here.
Can you tell me what's missing here?
A lot. Like, anyone that's played in the last
20 years? 20 years? Anybody that's played in the last 20 years. I mean, here, Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
Tail ended his career in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Okay, he played with Arizona in 2004.
Just to get the record.
Right, seriously. Yeah. Just to get the record in an Arizona Cardinals uniform. No. Here's the thing. No LaDainian Tomlinson.
That's the first name that came to mind was LaDainian Tomlinson.
No Adrian Peterson.
Mm. Well, could that be because Adrian Peterson's still playing? Could that be giving them an out? Maybe they didn't want to pick active players.
I'm pretty sure if they did a top 12 quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady'd be on the list.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure that they would include him.
Okay.
So it is mind-blowing. It's so disrespectful. If you just cut it off, like greatest running backs of the 21st or the 20th century, I'd be like, okay, maybe those other guys, you know, would be up there. But when you completely ignore the last 20 years of elite rushing football that have come out, like, I mean, here's the thing. I've always been a LaDainian Tomlinson guy.
Yeah.
And it made me realize I might have Adrian Peterson ranked over him all time because I was like, leaving out LaDainian, I can fathom, but leaving out Adrian Peterson, I can't.
I don't even see how you can fathom LaDainian Tomlinson.
Both of them.
Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, with me, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. Some people said Terrell Davis should have been on the list. Tony Dorsett should have been on the list. I mean, I think there's...
Marshall Faulk?
Exactly.
I'm looking at other names on here that have just like, you know, I'm looking at another list, for example, and Bleacher Report. They had Adrian Peterson as the number 5 overall.
Where did they have Lenny Moore?
Not on the list.
What about Dutch Clark?
They had Walter Payton 1, Emmitt Smith 2, Jim Brown 3,
yes.
Barry Sanders 4, and then Adrian Peterson rounding out the top 5.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, I mean, it's just disgraceful. The thing that makes me mad is just simply for the fact that it didn't include either guy.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's a slap in the face of football fans my age.
Yes.
Which I'm not saying to the 80 pluses that Dutch Clark wasn't good or that Steve Van Buren wasn't good. Steve Van Buren, actually, I looked up his stats, and of all of those guys, he actually like led the league multiple times in multiple categories.
Yeah.
Which I mean, like, okay, Steven Van Buren, like, never heard of him. He belongs on there. But you can't leave off LaDainian and Adrian Peterson. LaDainian Tomlinson had the greatest scoring season in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
31 touchdowns. You left the guy that had the point of the game is to score. And he had the greatest season ever by a non-quarterback to do that.
Yeah.
And you left him off the list. That's BS. And he was one of the best receiving backs of all time. And then you left Adrian Peterson off the list, who's a multiple-time All-Pro and a 2,000-yard rusher. Every 2,000-yard rusher except Terrell Davis. Well, no, that's mistaken. Swipe that from the
record. Well, yeah, because you've got a couple other ones.
Oh, yeah, you have like 4.
Jamal Lewis.
It's Chris Johnson.
Chris
Johnson, yeah. So, I just stopped
myself.
We'll
scrub that out.
But you had O.J. and Eric Dickerson and Barry Sanders on that list. And you didn't have Adrian Peterson. I just think it's a mockery.
Well, I feel like for these lists, there should be, now baseball has the dead ball and live ball era. For football, all sports, you should cut it off at like maybe anything before the 60s. They don't need to be in the same conversation. They were great, but it was a totally different. You can't compare Adrian Peterson to Dutch Clark. Like, they're just, you can't do that. And I don't care if some people, it's disrespectful to that era. It's just different. So you need to have two different kinds of lists.
I wonder what would have happened if Adrian Peterson was allowed to play with
Dutch
Clark.
They would have stopped the game.
they would have canceled the game.
He'd probably be put in jail for what he did to people on the field. It would not have been fair. They would have,
among other reasons.
Yeah, they would have just canceled football if that happened.
Yes.
So I agree with you that, and now we sound like we're young kids that hate anything that happened before us, but whatever.
Just an okay boomer.
Yeah,
just like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Are you ready for the
Let's get into our picks. NFL I can't do power? The picks, though, without the music. I need the music to get in the mode to get my pick. Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's nice. All right, so Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
Jimmy, congratulations. You won last week.
Thank you.
I believe I went 9-4. You went 10-3?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So on the season, I am 91-56-1. You, Angelo, are 94-53-1. So you got a three-game lead on me.
Does that include the win I had over you in the Colts Texans game?
It does not. That was after last week.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I took the Colts on the Thursday night game. Angelo took the Texans. Angelo, you got that correct.
Yes, sir.
So to kick off the Sunday slate, Buccaneers at the Falcons. Falcons favored by 3.5 at home. Without Devontae Freeman.
This is interesting. I posted a stat that in the last 10 quarters, you can follow me on Twitter at Angelo Media Lex. In the last 10 quarters, the Falcons have outscored the Seahawks, the Saints, and the Panthers 75-25.
They've turned it on.
In the last 10 quarters. Yeah. That's how good they have been. The thing is that I don't know if this is real or it's a pumpkin. Tampa Bay is not a horrible football team. I don't know which hand to ride with, and I think I'm going to side with Tampa Bay.
Because
the secondary for Atlanta has been an issue all year. They've just recently got the pass rush going, but Chris Godwin and Mike Evans is the best receiving duo this year, and I think that Winston's going to be able to put up big numbers against this Falcons defense.
I hope that this is a high-scoring shootout like it should be, because we're now seeing the Falcons offense how it should be. I'm taking the Falcons at home. These divisional games are tough, but when it comes down to at the end of the game, do you want Matt Ryan or Jameis Winston? I'm taking Matt Ryan and Julio Jones over Jameis. I just don't trust him.
I'm not going to argue with you about that.
I don't trust him. All right, so up next, we've got the Broncos on the road against the Bills. Bills favored by 3.5 at home.
Are these the same team?
Well,
I think they are. The records are flip-flopped, but no, I think they both have Allens at quarterback. Both of their offenses are stagnant, and both of their defenses have turned out to be pretty good this year.
Yeah.
I think the only reason why I would give the edge to Buffalo is because they're at home. But to me, with the way Denver's playing lately, after Flacco was out of the lineup, which it's the second year in a row, Flacco leads the lineup, the team gets better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coincidence?
Lamar Jackson was the other one, but you know.
Yeah.
No, these are the identical teams, in my opinion. I'm taking the Bills because they're at home.
Agreed. I trust Josh Allen more than Brandon Allen in Denver. So next, Giants on the road against the Bears. Bears are favored by 6 at home. I had to look at that and make sure that was correct.
I would take...
Trubisky is apparently going to be starting. His hip magically is fine this week, even though he was benched.
Like he wasn't benched,
I guess.
He was
benched for his hip last week.
This is one of the surprisingly worst teams in the NFL. I mean, I think we knew the Giants weren't going to be great, but I thought they were going to be more competitive than they've been.
So you mean Khalil Mack wasn't the answer for the offense? That's strange.
No, I meant the Giants. I was saying the Giants. I knew they were going to be not great, but I didn't know they were going to be this bad, especially with Saquon Barkley's second year kind of, you know, him being completely forgotten about. The Bears have had, I think, easily the most disappointing year when it comes to any of the star teams. I think line-wise, I would take the Giants with the -6, but I think straight up money line, I would take the Chicago Bears.
Interesting. I'm going with the Giants on the road. I think Saquon can neutralize whatever defense the Bears have, but I would trust Saquon and Daniel Jones.
Bears can't stop anybody rushing.
No, and I don't care that it's on the road when you've got a great running back like Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You got to go with them.
Look at the guys that have gashed the Bears recently.
Yeah.
There was Josh Jacobs and Todd Gurley, and then there was another one in between. Once Akeem Hicks went out, there were stats saying that this rush defense isn't going to be very good, and that's proven out to be right.
Game of the week, Steelers on the road at the Bengals. Steelers favored by 6.5. Akin Cincinnati. We do still have Trey Kearney, our local Steeler fan.
The Steelers, 56, maybe to 3.
All right. That is a shocker of the week, Trey picks.
Yeah, good thing Myles Garrett's not on the field for this game. Oh. Am I right?
Oh.
I say that Pittsburgh's going to win. I don't have anything else to say about this game.
I also don't have anything to say. I don't want to watch this game, but I'm just going to
I'm not watching this game.
I'm going to take the Steelers. Sneaky good game this week. Dolphins on the road at the Browns. Browns
sneaky
favored by 10.5.
What?
Hmm?
What? A sneaky good game?
Yes, you heard it. I'm not taking the Dolphins. I'm taking the Browns. Browns are favored by 10.5.
I told you I was not going to pick the Browns anymore this year.
I know. And guess what you got to do? Please tell me you're doing it.
if we're betting money, I'm saying I'd take Miami in the minus 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or the plus 10.5. Yeah. I mean, goodness. Like,
it's
That's this Dolphins team is getting a lot better. I would hope that a team with Odell Beckham Jr. could beat the Miami Dolphins secondary that has no one in it. But I will take the Browns, Jimmy.
Okay.
But no, if you're betting and you're not going money line, if you're going spread, Dolphins 10.5, I would take the plus 10.5.
I did.
On
alleged,
the Dolphins.
Allegedly.
Well, Panthers. We can gamble now. It's okay.
Yeah. Panthers on the road with the Saints. Another divisional matchup in the NFC South. Saints favored by 10 at home. This line I actually see, and I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a divisional game. They always play each other close, but I just, you know, I don't know. That dome is not an easy place to go and play.
I would probably side with the Panthers in the line, but this was one I would stay away from, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't just do anything with
it.
I don't know.
These NFC South divisional games, unless you're betting
the
over.
This is the weirdest division when it comes to them playing each other.
Yes. And it's always straight, but I just always go the over-under is something I would touch with this, but not the spread.
New Orleans all the way.
Yeah. I'm taking the Saints also at home.
By the way, Cam Newton, don't need him, right?
Yeah, right. How that was the thing for a couple weeks, and then it'll come back.
I'm glad that's over, though. I'm glad it's over now.
Raiders on the road at the Jets. Raiders favored by 3 at home.
I've got to ask you a fantasy football.
Or wait, on the road, what? I'm sorry. Raiders favored by 3.
Oh, I was like, the Jets are favored?
No, yeah. Sorry. Raiders favored by 3 on the road.
I need to ask you a fantasy football question in the next segment, and it involves the Raiders.
Okay.
All right, so keep that in mind. Remind me when we get there.
I'm saving that.
Raiders.
Really?
I mean, have they not been the better football team?
They have been the better football
team. Even
with
Sam Darnold healthy, even with the Jets now healthy and how they've been playing, who's the better football team?
I would probably still say the Raiders.
Okay, so I'm taking the Raiders.
Jets are at home. I'm taking the Jets.
Did they get an extra player like in yes. Madden Ultimate Team or whatever where you can just pluck, like, are they going to get prime Jerry Rice because they're playing at home?
Yeah. I'm taking, and for fantasy, I've got a sneaky good play for the Jets at quarterback, but I won't say who it is, Sam Darnold, yet. Taking the Jets. Seahawks.
Not Luke Falk.
Seahawks on the road at the Eagles. This is going to be a good game. Eagles are favored by 1 at home.
Interesting.
It's a pick'em game. I've seen it go down. I've seen the spread change a little bit, but it's essentially a pick'em.
Thing about it to me is that Philadelphia has a good run defense. Obviously, Seattle likes to run, but they have receivers this year. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson's the MVP candidate.
Guess who doesn't have a secondary?
Philadelphia.
At all. Like, they don't even put anyone out there. It's crazy.
You would think that. They don't get penalized for 10 men in the huddle. Yeah. You know? No, I'm taking Seattle just because Philadelphia still needs to prove it.
Yeah, even though
they're good. Like, they're top half of the NFC, but they're, like, number 8 or
I think
7.
The Seahawks are up there with one of the elite teams.
You think Seahawks are elite team?
I have them up there with the 49ers in the NFC Championship game, and I'm not super confident with my Niners.
There's a team in Wisconsin that you just conveniently left out.
Go eat your cheese. Lions on the road at the Redskins.
San Francisco people eat cheese with wine. What are you talking about?
Lions favored by 3.5 on the road at the Redskins.
I'm taking the Lions.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I believe I saw D'Angelo Hall is not playing for the Redskins. So, I mean, I don't know. Jeff Driscoll's starting for the Lions, a quarterback.
Wait, who's not playing for the Redskins?
I believe I saw that D'Angelo Hall, their corner.
D'Angelo Hall hasn't been in the NFL for half a decade.
Then it was not half a decade. He's for sure been in the league the last 2 years.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, there was a Hard Knocks video of him and DeAndre Hopkins when DeAndre Hopkins tore his Achilles.
Okay, hold on a second. All right, 2017. All right.
Okay, that was
fair enough.
2 years
fair
ago.
Enough. Fair then enough.
Whoever so it was, the starting defensive back for the Redskins.
Josh Norman?
That's who it was. Okay, Josh Norman. He is out today. I like how you said half a decade. It's literally been a year and a half.
It feels like half a decade. Plus, he tore his Achilles in that same video you're talking about.
Josh Norman, the big corner for the Redskins.
Yeah.
He is out. So that may be fantasy wise for the Lions.
I'm just taking the Lions.
You're taking the Lions.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that would.
I'm really one of my sleepers. I'll get to one of my sleepers here in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we haven't heard about in 2 years, and then he came out of nowhere.
Like D'Angelo Hall.
Almost like psychic.
Jags on the road at the Titans. Titans favored by 3.5 at home.
You said Jags at Titans?
Mm-hmm.
Is Eddie George playing for the Titans or
no.
Oh, okay.
He was going to he's a healthy scratch, which was strange. So we'll see.
I can't quit this Jaguars team. I know that Tennessee is good this year, but they always kind of seem to be in this area. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville wants to reestablish the run. I think Nick Foles is an upgrade over Gardner Minshew. Love Derrick Henry, but this defense is pretty good for Jacksonville, too. I'm going with the Jaguars on the road.
I'm taking the Titans and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's been a monster this year.
Yeah, as Leonard Fournette has too.
That's true. This could
both
be
of these guys.
This could be one of those where they just both teams try to run the ball 40 times a game.
I think so.
And they don't put it in the hands of their quarterbacks, which would probably be
honestly
good.
This is a game I should have gone to because I love both these running backs. SEC running backs, two of my favorite running backs in the last decade. These are my guys.
Cowboys at the Patriots.
I feel like people aren't talking about this game.
Patriots
huh?
are favored by 6.5.
I'm taking New England.
I mean, can you not? I just don't see how anyone in their right mind could take the Cowboys. They're not real. They're not legit. How many times do they have to lose to good teams?
Look, actually, I want you to talk for just a second, Jimmy.
Okay. So the Patriots, they're favored by 6.5 at home. Let's see. Drew Bledsoe will be their quarterback today.
Is Michael Irvin active, yeah. Jimmy?
Irvin is active.
Here's the thing. These are who the Cowboys have beaten this year, all right? They have beaten the Giants. Mm-hmm. They have beaten the Redskins. Mm. They have beaten the Dolphins. They have beaten the Eagles. And they have beaten the Giants again, and they beat the Lions, okay? That's their 6 wins. Yeah. Their best win out of there is Philadelphia.
Yeah.
All right, and that's not even a great win. This is who they have lost to. They have lost to the New Orleans Saints. They have lost to the Green Bay Packers. And they have lost to the Minnesota Vikings. And they have lost to the New York Jets. This team is a paper tiger. They have the talent of a Super Bowl champion, and they have the resume of a team that shouldn't be in the playoffs.
This is how they've been the last, 20 years.
I don't know why they keep getting a farce.
Yes.
This is their time to prove it. But Cowboys fans, this Dallas team, you're talking them up. They're fake so far. You need this win.
They can try. The night game tonight, Packers on the road at my 49ers. 49ers favored by 3. Oh, we had to turn the music down for this.
All right, Jimmy. Yeah. I heard you talking smack. Oh, it's Seattle and San Francisco in the championship game, and I don't feel very confident about it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I do feel confident in?
What's that?
That Green Bay is going to win this game. They have the quarterback edge, and I think that's always the most important thing that you go to right off the bat.
I don't know. Pass rush would be a pretty good edge, too.
Let's wait
okay.
a second.
Okay.
So Aaron Rodgers, obviously, for Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo just hasn't been that good. I think last week he was, on bye last week.
So. I don't trust him. I don't.
Who did San Francisco play last week? The Arizona again?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo because I don't think you can. All right, Aaron Rodgers, I can trust. I feel good about that.
He's proven it a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's all right.
Yeah.
Next part is that I think that your defense does have an elite pass rush.
Yes.
But I think the MVP of your defense was Kwon Alexander.
Mm.
And with him being out, I think it's as big of a difference as when Los Angeles didn't have Derwin James or when some of these other defenses, they lose maybe not their best player, but they lose their MVP of the defense. And what Kwon Alexander was able to do behind that line made you all a threat at all 3 levels of the defense. And now that he's not there, I feel like that whole intermediate part of the field has become either a way you can run or a way you can throw on San Francisco. And Green Bay, Aaron Jones is having one of the 5 best seasons out of any running back in the league.
Yeah.
I think you would have to say. Richard Sherman has always been a struggle for Green Bay. If we can line up Devontae Adams outside of Richard Sherman, it'll be a little easier because Richard Sherman just stays on one side of the field. Mm. But the only advantage to me that you all have is that your rushing game is excellent and our rush defense is not very good.
Yeah.
Okay, and Kittle is supposed to play tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm taking Green Bay.
I think the
quarterback edge. I think Kwon. But my biggest reason out of all of them is Kwon Alexander being out. I think that truly changed your defense and your team from a potential Super Bowl contender to you're sputtering at the end.
So the
tell
Niners,
me why I'm wrong.
I just think the 49ers are the better team. If they lose tonight to the Packers, I'm not going to be surprised. So I'm just, but at the end of the day, I trust their defense enough in the playoffs to keep going. But you want to know the Niners' schedule the rest of the year? Packers today, Ravens, Saints, Falcons, Rams, and Seahawks.
I think it's the toughest schedule in NFL history. For that stretch, yes.
Yeah, then they make up for because the beginning. I mean, that's why they were. I think they were 9-1 till they lost to the.
Say those teams one more time.
So you've got the Packers tonight on the road at the Ravens.
Packers are 8-2.
On the road at the Ravens, who are 8-2. On the road at the Saints, who are 8-2. Falcons at home. The Falcons have been sneaky good lately. Then the Rams at home, and then the Seahawks on the road, who are 8-2.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so this is the toughest. I think they said it was the toughest three-game stretch in NFL history.
Yeah, it's...
No, that's what it was. There's never been a schedule where three teams are, 24-6?
Yes.
Though, like, this late into the season, they've never faced a team like this, so...
So it's making my palms a little sweaty.
These weak arms heavy?
Yeah, I just ate spaghetti, too. It's making my tummy all messed up. All right, so I'm taking the Niners at home.
Taking Green Bay.
All right, so last game of the week, Ravens at Rams. I'm Ravens.
You don't think this is going to be sneaky?
I trust Lamar.
I'm taking the Ravens. What's the line on it?
Ravens by 3 on the road.
Probably take the Ravens line too.
I would. If Lamar is at quarterback, that's what I do.
MVP. See, this is what I like more. NFL MVP talk than
more
Heisman
so than
talk.
The Heisman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to that in the fantasy segment.
Ooh.
We'll see though.
Hashtag teaser. We'll get you our fantasy advice, and Angelo's great at fantasy advice, so stay tuned for that. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.
I clearly admitted I'm not.
It's Jimmy and Angelo. On ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. 381-1313 is our number. Follow us on Twitter and the Facebooks at Jimmy and Angelo. So we just went over our NFL picks. And another thing we learned is that D'Angelo Hall does not play in the NFL anymore, much like I thought he did. Somehow I confused Josh Norman for D'Angelo Hall.
Oh, yeah, we. That. Yeah, that's
so that's just we. Something that we all learned together. That I know I should write things down, and then I try. I'm like, no, my memory's good.
That's
I can
totally fine.
That
man,
name.
I may. People act like they don't make mistakes, man.
It's all good. So, fantasy. Speaking of making mistakes, we dove. I say we because I'm right up there with you.
I am hanging by. I'm okay. So, in one league, I'm still active, but unless I win every single game and another team loses like every single game, I'm out.
And there's not
the playoffs.
That many more games left.
And it's my only money league too. Yeah, in that league, there are 3 more games, including this week. So it's this week, next week, and the week after. Okay. But in another, it's only an 8-man league. I know that's small, but I shouldn't be. If it's an 8-man league, I shouldn't be doing that bad. But I think really what it does is it takes the parity out of it and blah blah blah. You know, it's like never mind.
I'm just
in that league. All right, yeah. I'm like 3-7.
Yeah, yeah.
In another league, I'm on by thread, man. I'm more alive in that. But we have 2 more weeks, and I have to like make it work, or else it's over. It's done. So
that's a bad feeling.
It is, but in Jimmy and Angelo, it's a good feeling. Even though this one guy, I just can't. He like every week that I think he's going to lose, he wins.
Yeah.
So he's like 8-2, and I'm 7-3, and I'm just waiting to jump him because I have more points than him, and I'm just waiting for him to lose because I'm not losing. I mean,
of course,
I'm not in Jimmy and Angelo. If you've seen it,
you're the captain,
and your brother is too.
Yes,
it's your brother. It's Sean. It's me and Jordan.
I played another league with my brother, and it's like a big money league, and I'm kicking him. Kicking him in the dirt in that league. So
you
I'm like
really happy when you said like you were just really
great.
Proud when you
it
just
feels
said that.
Great to be the little brother, but to just annihilate him every time we play in fantasy. Because that's
you're
the
starting
status,
to scare me, Jimmy.
That's the status of a real man is how you do in fantasy football.
It's
that
really,
proves your toughness.
It's really what takes me away from the grand azure of the meaning of life. So
do we want to get into some start sits, any sleepers? I mean, if you want to go through one at each position, you can, or just anyone that stands out. As a good start, or someone you're just really off of this week?
I see ESPN agrees with me about Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay today. He's ranked as the 5th highest rated fantasy quarterback.
He's been great for fantasy, even with him throwing interceptions nonstop.
Yeah, he's just a guy that I think with this game, especially if you expect it to be high scoring, I think the corners in Atlanta need real work. Mm-hmm. And when you have Godwin and Mike Evans out there, I think it's going to be a big day for Jameis. So I know he's kind of a fringe starter every single week. His numbers, though, have improved. And I think this week that would be my start out of the guys that may be on the fringe.
I would say same thing on the opposite side with Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones. That's a good... But I just hope that it's one of those games where it's a shootout back and forth and it's not a 13-10 game.
A guy that I think,
I don't think it is.
You could have like sit potential with.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think that Josh Allen against Denver, he's ranked as the seventh quarterback on ESPN's fantasy quarterback list. It might just be a hard week for quarterbacks against defenses this week, but I think that this is going to be a real rock fight in Buffalo. Denver's defense is good. Buffalo's defense is good. I can see this being a 13-10 game and Josh Allen having 170 passing yards, two picks, but salvaging a little bit in his rushing, but I don't think it's going to be a game where if you're going to decide to play him because, oh, it's Denver against maybe Baker against Miami or even your guy.
Jimmy G?
No, Sam Darnold.
Oh,
I was setting. Jimmy, I perfectly set you up, and you were chewing on your microphone cord.
Well, I would say I like Sam Darnold against Oakland. Mm-hmm. I also like Derek Carr in the same matchup with as they go on the road to New York. But I think Baker Mayfield you can play, and I think he's going to get back on track this week. And he has a very weak schedule the remainder of the season, so he's a guy. I know it's going to hurt to say this because he's been terrible this year, but Baker Mayfield might win you a spot into the playoffs.
I think before the season, I had Baker Mayfield as my number one fantasy quarterback.
A lot of people did.
And I don't regret it. Because if you look at that offense before the year, you had Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham, David Njoku, and Jarvis Landry
mm-hmm.
as the main four guys there. And then Kareem Hunt coming back. I think Kareem Hunt, who, by the way, if he's still available in your league, which I doubt it, pick him up. He has gotten at least 8 targets over the last 2 games in each game out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that's going to be, I mean, he was one of the best 10 running backs in the league in Kansas City. People forget that because of the situation.
And he's got real fresh legs.
And real fresh legs, and he's got something to prove. He's trying to, after this year, he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So he is trying to earn himself a contract.
Oh, yeah.
So Kareem Hunt is a guy that I think you should definitely focus on, if not. But that's why you were saying about Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. I really do think that Baker Mayfield, especially with the schedule.
So he plays Miami this week at Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Arizona, and then Baltimore in week 16. And that's normally when most championships mm-hmm. are. So
But if you go to week 17, Cincinnati again.
Even better.
And they could be pushing for a wild card
exactly.
spot.
Exactly. So, you know, that Baltimore-Cleveland
game. Unlike Pittsburgh.
He just looked at Trey. Just dropped his phone. How dare you, Angelo? That's a low blow.
It was on purpose.
The game. It could be a duel between he and Lamar Jackson in Week 16. So if you need a quarterback, if you have a guy that has a tough schedule towards the end of the season, he could be a guy like Josh Allen has a terrible schedule the rest of the way, and he's led a lot of people to a great season.
And that's why in Jimmy and Angelo, our league, I kept mm-hmm. him.
Yeah.
I kept him through all these trying times. I drafted him, I think, in like the 4th round.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept him through all this time.
Yeah.
And now I think it's finally the Baker Mayfield experience is going
to
pay off.
If you've been able to hold off, so Josh Allen, who is, I believe, the 6th quarterback in all of fantasy, he's got Denver this week at Dallas, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and New England in week 16 for the championship.
I dropped him in a league. I don't care how good he is at rushing the ball. That's terrifying.
For Baker Mayfield.
You don't
want to do it, but when it gets to this time of year, you got to make decisions that you take your head out of it. Just like, okay, no, this is what, or take your heart out of it, I should say. Mm-hmm. Use your head, not your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Baker's a good play this week. You could even throw Ryan Fitzpatrick in there if you're really feeling froggy.
You can. I wouldn't, but you can.
Yeah, well, if you need somebody, he's always going to throw
Trey
the ball.
Trey said Mason Rudolph, and that's the last player I would play. Even against Cincinnati. Mm. Even against Cincinnati. I think if there's any quarterback that's worse than Cincinnati's defense, it's Mason Rudolph. So
no comment on Mason Rudolph. Yeah.
Go ahead. Who do you got for running back this week? Because I'm about to shock you.
I like Philip Lindsay this week.
You like Philip
Lindsay? Yes, I do. As they take on the Bills on the road in Buffalo. I just don't know what else they could do on offense. I just don't really like Brandon Allen. But I think Philip Lindsay could be a good play this week. Obviously, the North, like Derrick Henry against Jacksonville, he and Leonard Fournette, obviously, if you have them, you're going to play them. But I like Philip Lindsay as one of those fringe guys that you may not always start every week.
Glad you told me that, Jimmy. I'm going to our league, and I'm putting Philip Lindsay in because he was on my bench.
Mm.
And I think that I'm going to change that. I was already 50-50 on it. Are you ready for a shocker?
Sure.
Christian McCaffrey said.
Huh?
Christian McCaffrey, sit him this week.
Why?
So
it makes my head hurt.
If you look at another great running back.
Okay.
Okay. With a much better offensive line, I'll say Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay.
All right. In their matchup against New
Orleans. Hold on. You said Ezekiel Elliott is a better running back than Christian McCaffrey.
Better offensive line. But they're similar okay. running back. If you said who are the elite running backs in the NFL?
Yes.
I mean, it's not crazy to put McCaffrey and Elliott together, right?
Okay.
Well, it's significantly better offensive line.
Mm.
All right. They went up against New Orleans. Ezekiel Elliott had 24 touches for 65 yards, and he was able to salvage the day with a touchdown in that game. But in this matchup, King on McCaffrey, it's not like Kyle Allen and the gang is going to really light it up in the stat board. I'm just saying. I mean, if I'm you, I'm not sitting McCaffrey. I mean, he's going to have to fall his way. But I'm just
saying.
But
you have him in your sit category.
I'm saying.
Temper expectations.
I'm just saying that there is an opportunity that McCaffrey has his first real bust game of the year. And if you think about it, Jimmy, it's not as crazy because look how far deep we are into the season.
Mm-hmm.
How many touches has he racked up over the weeks? How many times, remember against Jacksonville, he had to sit the rest of the game after it was out of hand because it was 40, general like soreness?
45 points that week?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm just saying that this might be, for an example, Adam Thielen last year at the receiver position, NFL record, 100 yards in the first 9 games.
Yeah.
He then proceeded to kind of flame out.
He had a historically great season, then historically bad to end the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just regression to the mean is what it is. And I don't think Christian McCaffrey is going to reset LaDainian Tomlinson's records like they're talking about. This might be the first week. I'm just saying, if anybody out there was on the fence about it, you're not alone.
Yes. So what about any sleepers this week? You got any sleepy guys?
I don't know how you knew. I don't know how. But Bo Scarborough of Detroit came onto the scene, practice squad immediately available, 14 touches or rushes, 55 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I am admittedly biased towards Bo Scarborough for his Alabama. He was the guy that was the yoked up running back in the memes a couple years ago.
He was the original DK Metcalf who went viral for how jacked he was when he stood next to Derrick Henry and made Derrick Henry look like a boy.
Yes, and that nobody does that.
No.
And so Bo Scarborough, I feel like it's just finally they have a bruising back. They're going to part of their schedule where you face the Redskins. You need a running back that's able to just kill that game for you. I'm not saying I know for sure whether Bo Scarborough is going to make it as their lead back.
Mm-hmm.
But to come off the practice squad, Kerryon Johnson's out for the year. And
Ty Johnson was supposed to be the guy, and then he just flamed out.
And he didn't. I thought J.D. McKissick.
He's still there.
Was he not a 49er at one point? Am I wrong?
For a hot second, he was.
Okay. So I'm just saying, if there was a guy, I picked him up in all three of my leagues. Because if there is a running back that comes out of nowhere to surprise you, if you add up that Detroit's not, I'm not saying they're a great football team, but they're not a bad football team.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Kerryon Johnson out for the year, Scarborough has the frame. And if they have the trust, I think he could be a guy that ends up over the next 6 weeks averaging out to a running back 1-2.
So you remember
running back 2.
Last year, Damian Williams came out of nowhere in Kansas City. He won a lot of people championships. I got one of them. If you're lucky enough to get him in waivers the week that he comes on, there's always a guy every year who's like that. Is Bo Scarborough that guy this year? Because Detroit, they're not, like you said, they're not bad. Driscoll's been better than people are giving him credit for. Obviously, he's not your franchise guy, but he's been able. And the Detroit offense with Galladay and you've got Marvin Jones, they have weapons around them. So you got to find that guy who's going to win you a championship. I don't know if that's Bo Scarborough, but he's the best one I've seen so far that you could pick up.
In some leagues that are more diluted, it gets to the point where every week there's just nobody to pick up, and you've got to find those players.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bo Scarborough might have found us.
Yeah. How about Benny Snell this week? James Conner's out again. Benny Snell practiced
you
without limitations. James Conner has been ruled out.
And they love Jalen Samuels, but more in the passing game.
Yeah.
And if Pittsburgh goes up 21-0 on Cincinnati, they're just going to run Benny Snell 20 times.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's there for, is just to move the chains. I actually, he's a guy that I haven't picked up in one of my leagues yet, but you might convince me by the end of this that I should pick him up and start him today.
Out of all these people that we've talked, like Bo Scarborough, he's not on the waiver wire anymore. He's been picked up in your league more than likely. But Benny Snell's a guy he's owned in 2.7% of ESPN leagues. So if you need a guy, if there's an injury or you're panicking now and you forgot to look at your lineup all week, Benny Snell could be a guy you throw into your flex and hope to get maybe 10, 11 points.
I'm not going to lie that this market that we're in, probably 2.5 of those 2.7.
Absolutely.
And the rest is in Pittsburgh. Like, it's literally Dynasty Pittsburgh leagues. And Lexington have Benny Snell, and then everywhere else doesn't. But I think if there's one place, well, if you're a Wildcat fan and you haven't picked up Benny Snell of all weeks, unless you're just Cincinnati fan and you don't want to play anybody against the Bengals.
Which you shouldn't be playing fantasy football if that's the way
those,
you look
you
at things.
You can't have those loyalties.
You're a terrible fantasy football.
Yeah, so I would definitely suggest that. Wide receiver is a guy that I like this week. Philly doesn't have a secondary, and DK Metcalf is really good.
Yeah,
he's really good.
Have you seen his mouthpiece? It looks like a binky.
A binky?
Like a bit, like the thing that babies use.
That man,
I always call it a binky.
A pacifier is what me and Trey, us Kentucky boys, call him pacifiers, boy.
A passy.
DK Metcalf's the type of man that if he wore a passy in front of me, I'd just be like,
I
might get one myself.
That looks, you have an extra?
That's pretty cool, yeah. Like, I didn't know that was the thing right now. DK Metcalf is ranked as the 19th receiver in fantasy football according to ESPN this week. I think that 19th's a little low. And a guy that's 20th, Jarvis Landry, played for Miami, is it at Miami? I thought it was at, no, it's in Cleveland, right?
Yes.
Well, I think this is a time that they'll get him touches to get revenge against his former team. I think both of those guys are decent plays this week.
I also think Odell Beckham is a great play this week. When you play the Dolphins, you can pretty much start anybody.
Yeah, I want to say that, and I think Odell Beckham might be the best receiver in football. And I know that doesn't happen with production. I'm just saying,
he might be
the best version of himself he's ever been. And just because he's not getting the ball doesn't mean he's not great. All right. It's not like DeAndre Hopkins, who it's just the 7-yard catch, going 7 catches for 29 yards. Ooh, DeAndre Hopkins. I'm just worried because I have him in one of my leagues and he has not had one big game.
Ooh, OBJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
No, he has been the most disappointing player in fantasy football unless you drafted Antonio Brown. I did.
See Baker Mayfield. I mean, they correlate together. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think Jamison Crowder could be a good start this week against Oakland for the Jets. He's a PPR machine, as they say. He doesn't get those giant, spectacular plays, but he's always there every week getting you 13 points.
And if you're not starting John Brown by now, you're making a mistake. He's been the most consistent non-star wide receiver in fantasy football this year.
But with the tough matchup that the Bills have, that could be a tough start this week. But if you need a guy, and you can maybe do the stack with Josh Allen and John Brown, you could do that. So coming up on Jimmy and Angela. Angela, actually, you want to take this?
We're just going to do Survivor Series, baby. We're going to be talking about the NXT Invasion, a little bit about NXT TakeOver last night, and what we expect out of this card. And I'm going to be joined by Conrad Carney III. And we're going to get this on here, right here. On Jimmy and Angelo, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, and streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com.
Dirty South. Can y'all really feel me?
Feel us.
East Coast, feel me.
Feel us.
West Coast, feel me.
Say what?
Dirty South.
Here we go.
Can y'all really feel me?
Baby girl.
East Coast, feel me.
I know what you're talking about.
It is back on the mic now. The fuzzy is back.
It never left the mic.
All right, so we got 10 minutes to fit in 2 days worth of pay-per-views and a lot of epic action. NXT TakeOver was last night. If you're wanting to wait to watch it for the results, turned off the radio for 2 minutes.
Spoiler.
If you're not. Team Ripley defeated Team Baszler, in which was really odd. It was a really good match, but Rhea Ripley, by the way, dude, is a star. Rhea Ripley is an absolute star, but it was 4-on-2. It was Ripley and Candice LeRae, even though it was supposed to be 4. It's a War Games match, so it's 4-on-4.
Mm-hmm.
But they only had 2 because Dakota Kai turned heel and beat up Tegan Knox. And somehow, Rhea Ripley and Candice LeRae were able to beat Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Kaylee Ray, which is just, it's a little much. It's a little much. And Trey, another radio professional, watching an Abilene Christian Mississippi State highlight instead of being in on the conversation. Really, really.
Hashtag
way to go. Way
I'm
to go,
a
bud.
Huge AB Christian
you're
fan.
You're Abilene is what it is.
Abilene. Yeah.
Pete Dunne defeated Killian Dane and Damian Priest in a triple threat match, which will lead to the Survivor Series card. Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole in Survivor Series for the NXT Championship. I was hoping to see Damian Priest. I was a big fan of his when he was Punishment Rodriguez in Ring of Honor. And
I think he's going to be a future star, but Pete Dunne is now. He's really good. Finn Balor, which is interesting, only four matches during this whole entire show because of how long they were, which is why it makes NXT really cool. It's you get four matches only, but they're really, really good.
There's no fluff. It's all
fluff.
About quality, not
all
quantity.
All stuff, no yeah. fluff.
Hey.
That's what we should be, Jimmy and Angelo. That should be the mantra. All stuff, no fluff. I bet nobody's ever thought of that before.
I'll put that on a t-shirt. That's copyrighted LLC, Jimmy and Angelo.
Finn Balor defeated Matt Riddle in Finn Balor's first NXT TakeOver match in 4 years. I think it's his first match in 4 years. I would like to see Riddle win, but Balor got the win. That happens. It was a good match. And then Team Ciampa, Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, and a fourth person that we didn't know who it was versus the Undisputed Era. It was Kevin Owens. Was the guy that debuted as the fourth member for Team Ciampa, and the end result of the match was at the top of the cage. Ciampa did a kind of a certain fall away slam of sorts on Adam Cole from the top of the cage through two tables for the win. So Team Ciampa won. So last night it was Team Ripley, Pete Dunne, Finn Balor, and Team Ciampa that came away with the victories, and on to tonight, which is Survivor Series, baby. This invasion is so cool because NXT is coming to Raw and SmackDown, and they made this the first time all three brands were featured on the Survivor Series pay-per-view. Usually it's Raw versus SmackDown. That's Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. I think that's brought a lot of excitement to the show. And honestly, I think that it's almost as good as the invasion angle of WCW and ECW with the way that they've turned it out. I mean, they just made it engaging, and they made all the characters kind of work together, and it's intriguing, which is rare to say sometimes.
I also kind of want to see what the ratings are for NXT because, I mean, I bet
NXT beat AEW this week.
Wow.
It was the first time they beat them in the ratings. I believe it was 900,000, like 700,000.
Well, yeah, because people wanted to see what Raw or SmackDown was going to do to NXT because they kept coming on those shows, so...
Yeah, that's exactly why. I mean, this was the first week that... So I started off watching every AEW because it was new. It was hot. And then I can't really get around to them sometimes because there's so much other stuff I had to watch during the week. So I would like miss NXT or AEW, but I'd probably catch AEW if I could, like on a replay. And then this was the first week that it was just NXT first and period. So it worked. Whatever they did, it got me to watch NXT before AEW. In the Survivor Series pay-per-view, I think this card is about as elite come because every single match, like Jimmy said, all stuff, no fluff.
Except for one.
What's the one?
Lesnar.
Great build-up. No. Okay, so you're telling me Brock Lesnar Rey Mysterio match is not stuff.
Oh, no.
It's the best storyline out of all of these.
Oh, my God.
Will Cain Velasquez be involved in this match in some way?
Oh, yeah.
You think he has to?
Oh, without a doubt.
Because I'm not huge in, like, I don't follow all the storylines of WWE.
You're cool. But, you have a life. Thank you, Jimmy. Continue. No,
but I've been following this Cain Velasquez thing and with him and Rey Mysterio. Like, I'm interested in that because I love UFC. So to see Cain and that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think he will.
Oh, without a doubt. Oh. It's no disqualification.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear my fan theory?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I can't wait.
So, Rey Mysterio, Brock Lesnar, they involved Cain Velasquez, but this angle's weirdly involved Dominic a lot. All right, Rey Mysterio's son. A lot of people think, oh, is he going to win the title with his dad? Is he going to defend it with his dad? Are they going to be a tag team? I weirdly remember about 7-8 months ago that there's someone else in the training center, and it's not Dominic. It's Brock Lesnar's son.
Yeah, no, I've been hearing about that.
He's in the training center for WWE Performance.
Didn't even know Brock Lesnar had a son.
And exactly, I didn't know either until we saw him. And he looks like a mini Brock Lesnar is what he looks like. And it's just funny that Dominic's getting involved in this storyline, and I wonder if he ever tries to get his licks in that maybe we get the first like son versus son like while the dads are still like active where we get Mysterio's son Dominic versus Brock Lesnar.
Or has there ever been like, you know, a father son tag team like kind of deal?
I would have to say that there's been at least once, but not off the top of my head. I can't really think of right now.
I feel like there has, but I can't like think of them.
We would have to. Well, I mean, Rikishi tag teamed with the Usos, the other member on Raw
25. I meant like father son duo versus father son duo.
Oh, that has to never have happened. In WWE, at least.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, can't
no way.
So, okay, so Lesnar, Mysterio, who wins?
Oh, Lesnar. Are you kidding me?
I think it's Mysterio. I think way that this match has been built
and
Rey Mysterio, I think Rey Mysterio gets the belt and he holds it until Royal Rumble, and Lesnar takes it from him there.
It's too easy.
That statement right there, you're going to make my mother upset because I'm just going to go ahead and drive back to school right now, and I'm not even be able to say goodbye to her in person.
That's on you, Angelo.
That's just a prediction. I didn't hurt anybody's feelings. Blame WWE for making me think that. Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Shayna Baszler. If you're trying to say who this does the most for, I'm going to say Shayna Baszler. I think winning this match would legitimize her, and once she comes up to the main roster and whatever involves with Ronda, I'm just going Baszler here. I think she's the one that benefits the most.
And all these matches, I mean, it's hard to predict because you don't know what kind of like what's going to be built off of it. So like my pick here, I'm going to take the safe bet with Becky.
I was going to say I think Bayley takes the pin either way. The pin or submission. Yeah, Bayley's losing.
Yeah.
I'm more sure Bayley loses than Shayna wins. The Viking Raiders versus the New Day versus the Undisputed Era. Undisputed Era beat the Revival on NXT this Wednesday. Here's the thing. I really want to go Viking Raiders because I think it solidifies them when they're kind of the weakest member of that of those groups. But they seem to always put over the New Day in matches like these. I'm going to go New Day.
See, I'm like you. I want to go with Undisputed Era because, I mean, they've been good, but New Day for me as well.
You're going New Day as well?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown versus Team NXT in the women's showcasing. If you had to validate one of these women's divisions, I think the NXT women did it last week. I think there's turmoil in the SmackDown. Raw seems to be the only group of women that haven't really conflicted with each other, unlike these other groups. I'm going to go Team Raw.
Yep, same.
And Charlotte Flair.
Team Raw.
Team Raw versus Team SmackDown versus Team NXT. We don't know the members of the male Team NXT roster, and this one is interesting as well.
What are the odds Triple H is on the team?
It's been rumored around he doesn't want to do it. I think that he will be at ringside. I don't know if he will.
I still say it's a 50-50 shot. He's in gear.
I don't think he wrestles, but I think he's involved in the match somehow. This one, I'm just trying to think. I would say just for the safe bet, just to call it, Team SmackDown is Fox. They need to push Fox. I would say Roman Reigns is probably the sole survivor.
Oh, not Shorty G?
Not Shorty G.
I'm going to go with Raw, honestly.
Really?
Actually, you know what? No, I'm going NXT.
There we go. That's what I was waiting for.
I love how they haven't announced anyone. I feel like they're going to bring in a ringer.
They're going to bring in a ringer, and apparently Kevin Owens, after joining the War Games match last night, they're talking about him flipping to NXT, so that might happen. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Roderick Strong. Shinsuke Nakamura debuted the new Intercontinental Championship.
Which was beautiful.
It was really awesome. I have to say, who do you got in this match?
Oh, Shinsuke.
He got the new championship. Sami Zayn cheats, helps him win.
Yeah.
Adam Cole versus Pete Dunne.
Adam Cole, baby.
And then, of course, the match of the night I'm going to be most fixated on just because of the entrance alone. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan. I'm taking, you know, my guy, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Yep. Jimmy, as an outsider, how much does this character, has it even registered on your radar?
Yes. When he kind of first started to go viral with his intro.
Which we helped make.
Yes, you guys, yep. You did. Yep. So I was definitely fascinated by it because it brought back to me, I was big into wrestling when I was younger. So it kind of brought that whole mystique of everything. So I liked it.
Same for me. I think Bray Wyatt takes the match too.
Oh,
I think
he wins.
And I cannot wait because The Fiend is the greatest thing in wrestling.
Of all time.
Of all time. So, well, he's my second favorite wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
Other than Stone Cold. So that is our Survivor Series picks and previews. Hope you enjoy tonight because I know I will.
Yeah. So the next time you hear our lovely voices, it'll be in December, and we will have crowned an SEC champion for football. So December, we're taking next weekend off to, I'm going to Nashville to be with the fam and take engagement pictures because hashtag engagement life. Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.